Welcome to the Supreme Influence Show, the space to embody your infinite potential and fulfill your highest destiny. Hi, I'm Nyurka, and I'm inspired to bring you this amazing episode. Today, we have a very special guest. Michael Beckwith is a spiritual thought leader, sought-after meditation teacher, founder and director of the Agape International Spiritual Center in Los Angeles, California. Michael began an inward journey into the wisdom of East and West in the 70s, and today he teaches universal spiritual principles worldwide. He's the originator of the life visioning process, and he leads retreats and seminars and workshops around the world. His books include Spiritual Liberation, which we'll be talking about today, Inspirations of the Heart, 40-Day Mind Fast Soul Feast, A Manifesto of Peace, and Transcendence. Michael has appeared on Dr. Oz, The Oprah Winfrey Show, Larry King Live, and on his own PBS special, The Answer Is You. He's a featured teacher in the movie The Secret. He's the host of the radio show Wake Up, The Sound of Transformation on KPFK. I'm blessed to have been a guest on his radio show and also to have been a guest and a presenter at his yearly conference, Revelation, which is awesome. Michael and I first met a little over 15 years ago when he and I both were invited to speak on a Caribbean cruise along with Dr. Emoto. And we instantly hit it off, and he was presenting right before I was, and he was delivering a powerful message. He was on fire, wisdom pouring out of him, and I was in the audience observing, and when it was my turn to speak, I decided to not deliver the presentation I was intending to deliver and instead rode the wave of Michael's presentation and reverse engineered it for everyone present into a formula and a practice that we could all apply to access and tune into higher states of consciousness, as Michael demonstrated so beautifully and powerfully, and then communicate from that place of clarity, purpose, and poise. And everyone loved the message, and Michael and I have been dear friends ever since. And in this episode, I'm inspired that we're recording a conversation that Michael and I had in his office in Los Angeles, and we're putting it together for you in two parts to ensure that you receive the full and complete teaching. Make sure to listen to both part one and part two, because together they bring you profound insights, awareness, knowledge, and practices for spiritual liberation. So let's dive in. Welcome. I'm Nyurka, and I'm here with my very, very dear friend, Michael Beckwith, who is the founder of the Agape Spiritual Community. Michael's doing some amazing things on the planet. He's a world leader and a spiritual teacher, and he's just authored the book Spiritual Liberation. And he is also the originator of the life visioning process. So, Michael, I'm so deeply inspired to be with you here today. Thank you and welcome.
Oh, it is my joy to be with you, and it is my joy to be with you all the time. You have such tremendous positive enthusiasm, and it's just sweetly contagious.
Thank you. Well, it's reflecting right back to you. So I'm really excited about all the things that you're doing. I mean, I sat home, I've been reading and really studying spiritual liberation, and such amazing wisdom is imparted in the pages. And I know that the subtitle says fulfilling your soul's potential. So everybody wants a little bit of that. How do we know when we've actually fulfilled our soul's potential? I mean, what does that look like?
You know, it's kind of paradoxical because the potential of the soul is infinite. And the idea for the book is that we want that to be our priority, to wake up every single day seeking to fulfill our potential. Whereas most of the time, the average individual is waking up, that's not the first thing on their mind. The first thing on their mind is the issues of the day. You know, what's the most pressing thing? What's the biggest thing on their to-do list? How am I going to survive? How am I going to make it? And what I'm saying, when the thoughts that enter into your awareness are basically, you obtain them through the context by which you live your life. And if you're living your life from a large enough context, which is fulfilling your soul's potential, then those kind of inspiring thoughts move into your life. You not only survive, not only thrive, not only are prosperous and healthy, but you keep unleashing powers and capacities within you. So it's a way of living that I'm really not advocating it. I'm inviting people to have this as a way of living, fulfilling your soul's potential.
That infinite potential. So it's like, and it's right in line with what science is now illuminating, which is what spiritual teachers have been saying all along, which is a really exciting time, which is that we do live in a universe of infinite possibilities.
Absolutely.
And that our thoughts influence how we create our experience of reality. So how would we really connect someone and inspire them to claim those infinite possibilities when they feel like they're stuck in a certain paradigm or a certain way of thinking and being?
Well, the first thing, going back to what I said, the thoughts, people talk about, you know, changing their way of thinking. And what I teach is that you either are obtaining thoughts from the sea of mental garbage, which is the sense of separation that many human beings live from, or you're obtaining thoughts from the divine mind or the universal presence. So it's not that we think thoughts, we actually obtain them in consciousness. So when the context is large enough, you become open to inspiration. Now, when you're stuck, and as so many people are, a lot of people are stuck because they basically have been influenced by the worry, the doubt, and the fear that has run amok through our media regarding a contraction of an immature economic system, things of this particular nature. You have to ask, as you teach, you have to ask empowering questions. You know, I saw you speaking on the cruise, and I said, oh, she's right up my alley here. But basically, when people are stuck, they don't ask the right questions. They ask, why me? You know, and they have to begin to ask what's trying to emerge here. You know, what talent is trying to come forward. They have to ask other kind of questions. And if they ask those kind of questions, the universe will answer those questions every single time. And they find themselves going on a different train of thinking, a different way of feeling. Compelling action, right action begins to take over their life, and they find themselves not solving a problem, but they find themselves evolving, outgrowing the problem. You can't really solve a problem, but you can outgrow it. Just as a chicken in an egg doesn't solve the problem by getting a bigger egg, it outgrows the problem by pecking through that particular paradigm and coming into a new world. And so we're being asked, when issues are facing us, particularly chronic issues, you know, what world am I supposed to find? What world am I supposed to discover? What power within me is supposed to come forward? That can only happen if we're conscious enough to ask the right question.
Yeah, I love that. I remember when we were on that cruise and I was seeing you speak, I was so inspired because you were just going off on all these questions. And yeah. I was listening to you and I was so present. And I was like, wow, you know, if people ask those questions on a continuous basis in their life, how it elevated their frequency.
Right.
In the presence of that, I was feeling my frequency elevated. I think I was speaking right after you. And I said, you know, I don't know what my topic was, but I'm just going to piggyback off your topic.
Yeah, that was sweet. I love that. But that's it. What question is a person perpetually living in?
Yeah.
What do they wake up with? You know, what are they asking themselves? What are they asking the universe throughout the course of the day? And after a while, that's what you have control over. You have control over the questions you ask. And then those questions become your context, and that context becomes the thoughts that emerge in your awareness, and those thoughts become your perceptions, and those perceptions become your experiences. And it's
cyclical.
And it keeps spiraling wider and wider and wider. So you keep coming into bigger and bigger areas of generosity, areas of love, areas of beauty, areas of creativity. It's infinite. You know, when I started Agape 23 years ago, you know, in my living room, some of the things that I've had an opportunity to participate in and experience were in the living room. But I had no idea they were in the living room with me at the time. But it keeps spiraling and spiraling and spiraling. You know, I can remember sitting, I was in Dharamsala, sitting next to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, facilitating a meeting of world leaders. And it was like, how did I get here? Well, I kept asking the question, how can I serve? You know, or I was speaking at the United Nations, how did I get here? You know, how can I inspire? You know, I find myself in these different places, speaking at Agape, every Sunday to thousands of people, you know, how can I inspire? How can I give? How can I activate my gifts? And this is the beautiful thing about it. You don't really have to know how to do it. If you know the what, you'll know the how. If you know what, the presence of beauty, the presence of God, intelligence, love, you want to be an instrument of joy, want to be an instrument of creativity. If you can, if you know the what, the how will happen. The ego is always asking how to do it before it even knows what it is, you know? And so the idea is to really be able to get into the what. For instance, just as an example, people will sometimes say, well, how do you meditate? And I say, well, that's a premature question. First of all, you have to ask, what is meditation?
Sure.
And most people say, well, how do you do it, instead of what it is. And once you know what meditation is, then you can know the how. Meditation, as an example, is paying undistractable attention to reality. That's what meditation is. So now that you know what it is, now you can begin to practice paying undistractable attention to reality. Now you got to know what reality is, the capital R. It's undifferentiated, it's whole, it's ineffable, it's never been born, it's never die. You know, you start getting to what's real, then you start paying attention to that which the eyes can't see. Pretty soon you're in meditation. Then you're in meditation even with your eyes open, you know, because you're paying undistractable attention to reality. But you can't get there if you just ask how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what the ego does.
To keep asking the questions, and as you ask it, it's like the answer is embedded in that question.
Yes.
And it keeps expanding from there.
Yes.
So that's great wisdom.
Yes.
You know, I remember you said, how may I serve? I asked that question for so many years in my life.
Right.
And it was so powerful because you continue to ask it, and then those opportunities emerge. It's like right there. And one thing which is really great that you said is like the chick trying to get out of the egg. There's such wisdom there, because a lot of times people may find themselves experiencing that same type of pressure in their life, like the pressure that a chick must feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it's outgrowing
right.
egg. And, you know, I think a lot of times people don't want to feel that pressure, and they want to not feel the resistance, and they want to feel as if, you know, growth or evolution should be easier. And just really understanding, having the wisdom to see and not label it or try to resist that. How important is that?
Yeah. You're describing a birth process. And any mother who's gone through the birth process, of course, there are moments they probably wish they could have changed their mind. You know, and said, oh, my God, what am I doing here? Why me? What did I do to get here? Blaming it on the husband or whatever the case may be. And that intensity and that pressure is there. But as they release themselves to it, then something is born through them, a new life. And the same with us in our transformational process. There's a tremendous amount of pressure, and we may not want to go through it. And oftentimes, again, a person that's not consciously seeking to fulfill their highest potential will take side routes. They'll start to self-medicate, or they'll have some kind of anesthesia of choice, whether it's overeating, whether it's entertainment to the extreme, watching television. They do something to distract themselves so they don't feel that intensity. The idea is to be aware that transformation is intense. You're actually releasing parts of yourself that no longer serve you. And when you're releasing that part of yourself that's no longer serving you and allowing something else to be born, it's intense. And it's a beautiful process. So instead of avoiding it, when it starts to happen, you yield to it. You say yes to it. You invite it. You open yourself up. And you breathe through it. You pray through it. You speak to yourself. You have a self-talk that is all embracing in terms of self-loving and self-appreciating. You don't go into wishful thinking. Wishful thinking is, I wish I wasn't here. I wish I hadn't done whatever I did to get this thing going. I wish I was somewhere else. I wish I was someone else. No. You come out of wishful thinking. You accept what is. I'm in the middle of a process. And the only way out is through. I've got to go through this. And you breathe, and you invite the higher power within you to lead, guide, and direct you to take the next step. And what happens is, this is a very important technology. In the middle of it, particularly sometimes it lasts a long time for some people. It feels like it's never going to end. You ask the question, if this were to last forever, what quality would I have to birth in order to have peace of mind? And if you sincerely ask that question, you'll start to get a clue as to what quality is trying to be born, what gift is trying to come forward. And once you have that, you shift your attention to inviting that quality in. And when your attention becomes more on the birth of that quality than on the getting rid of the pressure, transformation takes place. The resistance goes. You're no longer resisting the pressure. You're now available to birthing a quality. And then you discover that that which seems to be going on for so long is speeded up because you're interested in this quality. I'm giving birth to compassion. I'm giving birth to creativity. I'm giving birth to love. I'm giving birth to a depth of forgiveness and compassion I didn't even know existed, you know. So again, we become participants in our own evolution. You don't, we're not waiting for something out there to change. You're changing your perspective.
And then when you change, everything changes.
Everything shifts. You see more of it. It's like the ineffable presence is everywhere, everywhere. We only see in small bits, you see, the because people are looking visually through the eyes, and then that becomes the context by which they see their life. So people just see life in just small bite-sized pieces, when in fact, when you begin to expand to wider awareness, your vision expands. You see panoramically. Example, when I was doing my PBS special, when I was shooting it a couple of months ago, the second program that I did, when I came out, I was aware of what was happening upstairs for the people who were planning the after party. I was aware of the people in the dressing room behind me. I was aware of the people to my left that were working the sound. I was aware of the cameraman. I was aware of the audience. But it wasn't like I was seeing it all of it through my eyes. In my awareness, I had this full view. And then I could expand. I could see what was happening on the streets outside. I could see what was happening on the streets beyond that. Beyond that, I was in this wonderful cosmic awareness. And I walked out on stage in that. And then I narrowed and I said to myself, I'm going to speak to the man watching me in Iowa that has never seen me before. And my attention went to them, and the audience was there, but I really was speaking to this one person. And I spoke. The point is, I could see panoramically with my awareness fully what was going on and not just small bite-sized pieces, which is how we see most of the time. You see, and we make choices from that. But choice is really from expanded awareness, which is what happens when you begin to fulfill your soul's potential, when you begin to birth dimensions of yourself heretofore undiscovered by asking the right questions, by having the right intention, the right context for your life. It's this is real. This is real stuff.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard you talk about creating the conditions, and it sounds like that's what the questions are doing, like creating
yes.
the conditions.
That is such a strong point.
So it's like
point.
Creating the fertile ground, creating that sacred space
right.
for that which is your very life
right.
to emerge.
That is definitely so important, because from the Newtonian point of view, we've been taught the law of cause and effect, and that's been our vibrational stair steps to get to a quantum reality and an understanding that cause and effect is just a linguistic convenience to explain something that you really can't explain. The real thing is going on, as you've just led to, is that what I teach is condition emergence. When the condition is right, emergence takes place. If the seed is placed in proper soil, you didn't cause that to happen. You didn't cause the intricate design in the seed, but you placed it in the right condition. Then there's the emergence of the oak tree, the emergence of the rose bush, the emergence of the carrot, whatever is in that seed. Within us, this field of infinite possibility, we have the possibility of revealing creativity and love and abundance and joy according to our unique pattern, in ways that have never happened before. And when that condition is right, it emerges. And the beautiful thing about the point of evolution that we're now living in as human beings, spiritual beings having a human incarnation, is that we get to create our own condition. I can be in the middle of, you can be in the middle of having a broken leg.
Yeah,
but
like right now.
You can be breaking the condition for greater prosperity, you know? Because the universe is going to correspond to your song, whether it's a soulful song or a sorrowful song. It's you can create whatever condition. And so human beings need to understand that they have the power to be the condition for their own evolution, regardless of the past, regardless of what's happened to them, regardless of past temporary experiences and projections, what has people have said about you or any of that. You can rise above that, lift your vibration, create a condition, and then watch. When that potential comes forward, it doesn't care about your past. Matter of fact, it'll use it for your benefit. It'll say, thank you for that past. I can use this. This is good material. And do something with it, you know, that will absolutely reveal so much beauty. I stopped for a second because I just realized I dreamt of this. I dreamt this a few days ago, and I just caught up with the dream as I was looking over there.
Right on.
Yeah.
So many things are revealed often in our dreams. I know for me they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of work going through there. But that's great wisdom is, you know, like you were talking about before with people resisting some of those things. But you said really go through it, you know, to really and even breathe through it. You know,
way
I always say that,
that
the mind directs the body, but the breath directs the mind.
Right.
So, you know, what happens, I think, sometimes is people don't want to experience that, like you said, and they resist it and they resist it. And often what they're resisting is projected onto other people, places, and things. So,
or an unknown future.
Yeah.
People will have an unresolved issue, and they project that unresolved issue onto what they call the future. And they have a fear of the future. Now, the future is blank. You don't need to be afraid of the future. You need to be afraid of what you're projecting onto the future. So if you believe there's lack and limitation and scarcity and not enoughness, and you're projecting that onto the future, that's you putting that there. Because the future hasn't been written yet. It's a field of infinite possibility that you get to describe and inscribe, you know, and watch it manifest. You know, because the law says that you don't describe what you see. You see.